This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Hundreds of thousands of homes have been left without power. Evacuation orders have been extended to major cities as defensive dikes fail and rivers break their banks.
Hello, Europe, where summer ended with crazy weather like I've never seen. It was boiling hot, then snowy cold, followed by Central European floods, maybe floods of the century. At one point, the continent was split between a cold downwave of the jet stream and the upward sweep of dry heat from the Sahara. You can guess which side settled over Portugal. New calculations show carbon released from fires in Portugal are large enough to affect the climate slightly. Likewise, a foot and a half of rain dumped over parts of North Carolina and huge areas in Nigeria were underwater. You could see just the rooftops of buildings visible as far as the eye can see. Extreme rains were predicted by scientists years ago. The hotter atmosphere can hold more moisture, and whatever goes up must come down. The atmosphere gets that bigger load of water from the sea. Supermarine heat waves are adding to extreme rains and changing winds we feel on land. 71% of this blue planet is covered by the oceans. Unseen by humans, this water world is heating up.
You are about to know the thrill of seeing that which has never been seen before.
In late August 2024, sea surface temperatures hit 97.7 Fahrenheit or 36.5 C in the Persian Gulf. That's just barely cooler than our bodies. It was one of the highest sea surface temperatures ever recorded on Earth. This is just one of a series of what scientists now call supermarine heat waves. We know hotter oceans provide more energy to hurricanes, cyclones, or typhoons, whatever you want to call them. So when those spin up, we get damaging storms like Yagi, labeled Asia's most powerful storm. After bashing through the Philippines as severe tropical storm Entang, Yagi powered up to Category 5 really quickly, a rare super typhoon in the South China Sea. After striking South China and large parts of Vietnam and Thailand were submerged with many deaths and huge damages.
Down below where the fishes swim. Water getting hotter on residents. For cooler water. Heat waves down in the sea. Change it all. Too much energy.
Our new climate revealed itself in 2023. It was a year of incredible heat, amazing wildfires, and extreme rains with flash floods. But there was another unreported front. Global sea surface temperatures went off the charts. With marine heat waves and now supermarine heat waves, we are about to hear how and why. Dr. James Carton is a professor of atmospheric and oceanic science at the University of Maryland. He works with the university's Ocean Climate Lab. James has been a visiting scientist at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, and he is a fellow of the American Meteorological Society. His many papers since 1983 are cited all over the place. James Carton, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Alex, thank you.
For those of us on land, are the world's oceans changing with global warming, and how would you describe their state in 2023?
The oceans are certainly changing. They're changing in many ways, but in particular, the oceans are getting warmer. And that's most evident at the surface of the ocean, but as we look deeper and deeper in the ocean, you can follow this rise in temperature as it propagates down from the surface into the deeper layers of the ocean. So it's really stunning, actually.
And what would you say about their state in 2023?
So 2023, we kind of reached a maximum. It was the highest surface temperature since surface measurements have been recorded by satellite. So we have satellite records going back to 1981. and ocean surface temperatures stand well above the highest level that has ever been observed. And in fact, that high temperature in 2023 extended through the first part of 2024. As we move towards Northern Hemisphere fall 2024, we're a little bit below where we were this time last year, but still far above the average.
Well, I know it's uneven. Some places warmed more than others, but we're talking here about the global average, and how hot was it compared to what would be expected?
We were on global average from, you know, the South Pole to the North Pole, wherever there's open ocean, we reached an average of about 19 degrees, whereas the climatological averages, you know, the annual maximum is down around something like 18.3, and this is all centigrade, of course, so multiply by a factor of 2 to get the change in Fahrenheit. So it's really quite remarkable. And if you look in different regions, as you point out, you know, certain parts of the ocean are warming more rapidly than other parts, and in particular, the Northern Hemisphere, both the North Pacific and the North Atlantic, are 2 or 3 degrees, again, in centigrade above what we expect. And if you extend into the Arctic, for example, the Barents Sea, temperatures are even 3 and 4 degrees above normal. It's really kind of amazing.
That is strange stuff. Were these months of hot ocean surfaces predicted by models, or was the 2023 ocean a surprise even to experienced oceanographers like yourself?
This is warmer than we expected, absolutely. Now, I should tell you a little bit about how we come up with long-term climate forecasts. We have these models of the full climate system, including the dynamics of the ocean, the dynamics of the atmosphere, and the chemistry of the ocean, chemistry of the atmosphere. And then to do predictions, you can estimate how things will change in the future, for example, how much carbon dioxide comes into the atmosphere or methane, and then you can integrate these models and come up with predictions. So that's how we carry out the predictions. And the temperatures that we're seeing, particularly the surface temperatures of the ocean, are considerably above what we would have expected at this time based on these climate models.
And for our listeners, would you please define a marine heat wave and maybe give us an example?
Actually, the definition is a little bit vague. In other words, different scientists define it somewhat differently. But a very typical definition might be something like temperatures that persist for at least 5 days at a level that is 90% above the expected value for a particular location. I know that sounds a little bit confusing, but it takes into account the fact that, for example, here in the Northern Hemisphere, we expect temperatures to be warmest in Northern Hemisphere summer and fall. And so a heat wave would be the normal expected temperature for this time of year, plus an extra 90% of the expected variation. And that might work out to be 2 or 3 degrees, for example, above normal. And then a supermarine heat wave will be not just 90% above the expected value, but more like 95% or 98% above the expected value. And we have many examples. Alex, I think you told me you were in Vancouver. In the North Pacific, we've had a series of these marine heat waves. For example, if you remember the warm blobs of the mid-2010s, those are examples. And in fact, even this year, if you look over in the western side of the North Pacific, temperatures are 2 and 3 degrees above normal. So it's really stunningly warm.
Yes, Dr. Kevin Trenberth told us that blob parked over the North Pacific. That was in 2015, 2016 mainly, but it went on for years, and it led to the loss of over 100 million codfish, he said. So have we already had supermarine heat waves?
Yes. So as I say, these extreme marine heat waves do occur. They occur less frequently than the regular marine heat waves. But yes, we are seeing these, what is frequently referred to as supermarine heat waves, where you're statistically, you're way out on the tail of the distribution. So it's a it would seem to be a very unlikely event. But of course, as the average temperature of the ocean warms, you get extreme cases occurring more and more frequently.
Are these extreme sea surface temperatures balanced off by colder than normal measurements in other parts of the world?
Well, that's a great question. So you might think that heat would sort of accumulate in some regions and then it would be extracting heat from other regions. But in fact, we think that the total heat content of the system is increasing. How is that possible? Well, remember that the Earth system gains its heat from incoming sunlight, and it loses that heat through outgoing infrared radiation. And if there's any imbalance between those two, then that heat that's coming in from the sun, some of it can just continue to accumulate within our system. Although it is possible, of course, during any given month or any given year, there could be places that are below normal and places above normal. But in fact, what we're actually observing is that the average over the whole world ocean is increasing because of this accumulation of heat.
All right. Now let's get to the causes of the 2023 hot seas. With a team of eight scientists, you co-authored the new study titled Record High Sea Surface Temperatures in 2023. Your team suggests three causes for this abnormally hot ocean surface, and I'd like to tackle them kind of in reverse order from your paper. And so the first here is everyone knows after 3 years of La Nina events that release cooler ocean waters, the planet switched to a hotter El Nino in the Pacific Ocean. Can that ENSO change explain hotter surface seas that you found? And what was strange about this recent switch in the back-and-forth cycle of La Nina and El Nino?
So you're absolutely right. 2023, we had quite a strong El Nino. And as you know, during El Nino, you have warm water from the western tropical Pacific shift eastward, covering what is normally a cool eastern equatorial Pacific, so that the average temperature along the surface of the Pacific increases. And so that effect alone will increase the average temperature on the globe. Furthermore, when you put this capping layer of warm water in the eastern Pacific, that means that the ocean in the eastern Pacific can no longer absorb heat from the atmosphere. One of the roles that the ocean plays in the Earth's climate is that since the capacity to store heat is so much greater in the ocean than it is in the atmosphere, that the ocean can act as the temperature regulator of the Earth's climate system by absorbing heat. And when you have El Nino, you essentially prevent that surface regulation. And so that's why it's observed that when you go through the climate record, whenever you have one of these El Ninos, the average temperature of planet Earth during that year and probably the next year are above normal. Yeah.
But most of science says that the real heat comes either during the El Nino or even in the year after the El Nino, and yet you found a new record global average in April before the El Nino had really developed. What's going on with that?
Remember that as you go through the climatological seasonal cycle, we have peaks and troughs in the average temperature of our planet. And in fact, because we have both a northern hemisphere and a southern hemisphere, part of the ocean is facing summer both in, say, June, July, August, and also in January, February, March. And so if you look at that record, you'll actually see two peaks a year. You'll see a peak in spring, northern hemisphere spring, but you'll also see a peak in northern hemisphere fall in that record average throughout the globe. And so what we saw in 2023 was the average temperature exceeding the expected value in spring. So it did break a record in spring, but was really amazing about 2023 was that you had a little bit of a dip in May, June, and then it shot back up even higher in northern hemisphere fall. So the real annual record was not in spring, it was actually in August, September, so northern hemisphere fall.
Now, scientists discover longer cycles also at work in the oceans, and this would be the second cause your paper looked at. And one that develops over decades is called the multi-decadal Pacific Atlantic Arctic Mode, or the PAA. Most of us have never heard of it. What is PAA, the Pacific Atlantic Arctic Mode?
I would say that the underlying physics is still a matter of scientific discussion, but the way it manifests itself is as a standing pattern of surface temperature, in other words, a pattern that you could take a look at historical observations of sea surface temperature. The PAA represents a pattern of anomalous surface temperature that spans the northern hemisphere of both the Pacific and the Atlantic, extending into the Arctic. And the strength of that pattern does change on very long timescales, multi-decadal timescales. And this comes out of the observational record. The underlying physics is still a matter of discussion, so we're still not entirely sure what is actually driving this PAA pattern.
So if the PAA cycle is natural, can we say the 2023 marine surface records were partly due to a collision of some natural factors?
We think so, but even that is still being discussed. For example, it's possible that there are anthropogenic human influences that are coming into the PAA pattern. Let me give you an example. We know that beginning in the 1970s, there was an effort to clean up the troposphere, clean up the lower layers of the atmosphere by reducing emissions both from ships and from land-based sources of small particles, particularly sulfate particles. And by cleaning up the atmosphere, we actually reduce the amount of incoming solar radiation that gets reflected by this air pollution. So that is just one example of the way in which human activity could actually project on these larger scale patterns. And this is really separate from the whole problem of greenhouse gases.
Do you think there could be supermarine heat waves without human emissions?
Well, they would certainly occur because just like the weather and the climate, there's some distribution to the strength of the winds and the intensity of storms, and there will always be a few storms that are very extreme. I think what we're seeing is a shift of the distribution. So instead of just having the occasional supermarine heat wave, all of a sudden we're starting to have multiple supermarine heat waves throughout the globe. And so that is very striking. And I personally believe that this is a result of anthropogenic climate change.
This is a climate emergency. Find out more on the blog, ecoshock.org. No sign up, just the latest info, free for all. Ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock from the University of Maryland. We're speaking with oceanographer James Carton about record high sea surface temperatures in 2023. Well, now lately, the summer of 2024, it was full of record smashing heat waves on land in many parts of the Northern Hemisphere. Freak warmer winter weather also struck South America, Australia, even Antarctica. Does the ocean reflect these events in real time on land, or is the sea much slower reacting to excess heat in the atmosphere?
Well, Alex, you're quite right that the timescales at which the ocean changes are slower than weather over land. That is absolutely correct. But there is a very strong, intimate connection between changes in the ocean and surface weather, because the ocean has this ability to store heat and then release the heat to the atmosphere. And that process by which the ocean releases heat to the atmosphere in many places is through evaporation. So if you have very warm water, as you know, cooking, you know, you put water on the stove, you heat up the water, it starts to evaporate. So when you heat up water, it starts to evaporate. The energy in that water vapor then gets carried up into the atmosphere. As that air rises, it condenses, releasing that heat again into the atmosphere, and that is the major energy source for many of these storms. There is this very strong connection between the warming of ocean surface temperatures and the intensity of storms on land.
One of the few places in the ocean that has been visibly cooling was a blob of cold water south of Greenland. It hovered there for several years, and oceanographers have been talking about its possible impact. Is the blob still there?
Thank you so much for asking about that. I had looked at surface temperature maps quite recently, and it looks as if most of that blob has actually disappeared. And you mentioned one other area of anomalously cool water, which is in the tropical Atlantic. And the tropical Atlantic actually has started to warm up as well.
Well, yeah, we had this article in The New Scientist. It came out August 19th, 2024. James Dineen says, quote, "The Atlantic is cooling at record speed and nobody knows why. After over a year of record high global sea temperatures, the Atlantic is cooling off more quickly than ever recorded, which could impact weather around the world," end quote. Now, that's a journalist speaking rather than a scientist, I believe. What do you think?
I took a little bit of a look at what was going on in the tropical Atlantic, and the journalist is quite correct that surface temperatures in the tropical Atlantic have been warming. In fact, they've been warming fairly dramatically over the past 10 years. When you get close to the equator, there's an interesting interaction which occurs between the atmosphere and the ocean. And the way that interaction works is that when the trade winds blow across the ocean, they cause upwelling right along the equator of the ocean. And, for example, that happens when you shift from El Nino, where the trade winds are very weak, to La Nina, where the trade winds are very strong in the Pacific. And what seems to have happened, I think, is that in the tropical Atlantic, the trade winds, which again control the amount of upwelling, the trade winds have been weaker than normal over the past few years. But what's happened quite recently this summer is that those trade winds intensified, and that's why you got this very dramatic cooling effect in the tropical Atlantic. But, of course, that leaves open the question of, why are the trade winds changing? So it just sort of pushes the question further down the road.
And we know northern polar regions are warming up to four times faster than the rest of the planet. It is called Arctic amplification. Is the same true of the northern reaches of the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans?
I think if you take a look at surface temperature maps in the Arctic, you see both the Chukchi Sea, which of course is north of Bering Strait, and also the part of the Arctic north of Scandinavia and Western Russia to be warming very rapidly. Both are warming very rapidly, particularly, for example, the Barents Sea and the Kara Sea. Yeah.
This year in 2024, the Mediterranean, the Persian Gulf, and around the Indian Ocean, the weather and the heat added to record misery for humans on the land. We had temperatures and humidity recently above 150 degrees Fahrenheit, 65 C, as the feels-like temperatures, and it's just punished people living near the Gulf and Iran. And these deadly events tend to get lost when we talk about large global averages. Why do scientists stick with global average sea surface temperatures, which might minimize things, rather than these complex extremes that people have to live through?
Well, I think you've partly answered that question, which is that many scientists want to try and understand the global average value first because they think that it's easier to understand the global average than to really try and dig into the details of why, for example, the Red Sea and the Arabian Sea are so far above normal. That becomes a more challenging problem scientifically. But obviously, as you point out, the human impact is huge.
And carbon dioxide pollution pours out of industrialized areas, but eventually it spreads evenly in the atmosphere. Does marine heat do the same global equalization, or is the ocean a different beast?
Oh, Alex, that's another great question. These marine heat waves tend to be more localized. In other words, you're quite right. Carbon dioxide becomes well mixed within the atmosphere pretty rapidly within a year or two. But the ocean has much weaker currents, and therefore it's possible for these blobs of unusually warm water to persist. In fact, they can persist over multiple years in a single location. You gave the example of the warm blob in the North Pacific, and there are other examples. They're fairly regional.
Now, two scientists on this program told us the North Atlantic circulation system is weakening. Australian scientist Matthew England found at the other end of this great conveyor belt, overturning circulation has slipped around Antarctica as well and could stop. If there is less marine circulation, maybe there is less mixing of cooler bottom water, and maybe that contributes to warmer sea surface temperatures you measured. How much does sea surface temperature really tell us about warming in the whole ocean?
You're right that measurements of surface temperature, of course, are just telling you about what's happening in the well-mixed upper layer of the ocean, perhaps the upper 50 meters of the ocean. And the ocean is on average 4,000 meters deep, so there's this large section of the ocean that you're not able to see if you're just looking at sea surface temperature. And that is why oceanographers have various observing programs to see how temperature changes throughout the whole water column. So those types of measurements need to be combined with sea surface temperature measurements to get a full understanding of the heat cycle of the full ocean system.
We have big models to predict atmospheric temperature rise according to how much fossil fuels we burn as humans change the atmosphere. There are pathways and predictions for 2050 and 2100. Do we have similar maps for the future ocean under various emission scenarios?
In fact, we do, because the models that are used to interpret those emission scenarios for the atmosphere have to be coupled models because, again, the Earth's climate system cannot be thought of as just the atmosphere with a fixed land surface, fixed ocean, fixed ice. You really have to have a coupled system in which changes in one component of the system, say the atmosphere, interact with changes in the other components. So those coupled models produce predictions not only of the atmosphere but also the physics and chemistry of the ocean and the properties of the land surface and, increasingly in the newer models, the properties of the cryosphere. So we do have those predictions.
James Carton, you have been tracking ocean-atmosphere relations for over four decades. Your Simple Ocean Data Assimilation Project, or SODA, is still in use. Is marine warming speeding up, and are you personally worried by climate change?
It seems that it is speeding up, and yes, I am worried about this issue in a way that I have to admit when I started my career, I was much less concerned about.
From the University of Maryland Ocean Climate Lab, we have been speaking with ocean expert Dr. James A. Carton, and the paper Record High Sea Surface Temperatures in 2023 is open access. Anybody can read it, search for it, or find links in my show blog published Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. Jim, thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Coming up, the collapse of the planned world. Carbon saviors no more. Serious science from France.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.